So this week's parsha, Parshas Veschanan. It always falls out the week, the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, and the question is, why is it that way? We do read from Parshas Veschanan on Tisha B'Av itself, as we'll see in a little bit, starting from Ki Solid Banim Uvnei Banim. We read on Tisha B'Av, but why do we read Veschanan after Tisha B'Av? Are there any words of Nechama? Are there any words of comfort that will help us, bring us for the next few weeks of comfort after Tisha B'Av, of some positive, looking forward, looking to the future? So Parshas Veschanan has three basic sections to it. The first section is a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. We had the speech in Ready Parshas Devarim. He's speaking to Klal Yisrael. So we're continuing that speech. It's a very confusing speech. It seems very repetitive. All the nuances seem very complex. And then we have the Aseret HaDibros. And then the third section is the famous Parsha, the Mitzvah of Shema, with a few other continuing Parshios. So the three basic sections again. The speech, Aseret HaDibros, and Shema. So let's first analyze the Aseret HaDibros. On the first page here, I copied the two places that Aseret HaDibros appears in the Torah. One is in Sefer Shmos, Parshas Yisro, when it was given at Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai, the Aseret HaDibros were given. And the second one is from our Parsha Veschanan. Let's just compare, raise questions, differences, and start that way. So, on the first page here, in the top, we have Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. Right? Hashem is the only, I am Hashem, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, Al Panai, you shouldn't have any other gods. Lo sasalecha pesa, don't make an idol, v'lochol tmuna, any picture, asher b'shamayim imal, you shouldn't make any pictures of what exists b'shamayim, which probably refers to angels of some sort, v'asher b'aretz mitachas, anything on the land, v'asher b'mayim mitachas l'aretz, anything on the water, lo sishachaveh lehem v'lo tzavdeim, don't bow down to these idols, don't make idols, or don't serve idols rather, ki anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God, Kel Kona, I am a jealous God. Pakrina Avona Vosa, Banim Al Shlishav Arabim Lasonai. I take revenge, I give punishment. Vosa Chesed Lalafim, I give Chesed also to thousands. Lave Lushomer Mitzvosai. To those I love and those who keep my mitzvos. So these first, four psukim that found in Parshas Yisro, exactly identical to those psukim found in our Parsha, that's Aseret HaDibros. There's one difference. The very last word, now if you go down to the second half by Devarim, the last word, it says, Ulishomri of the, again, the first section, the second section of the first set of Dibros, Ulishomri mitzvosai, but it's written with a Vav. That's the one difference. The word, the letter Vav, we read it the same way as mitzvosai, but it's written with a Vav, not with a Yud. And we're going to see this theme, this extra Vavs throughout the second set of Dibros. So that's the first difference. Now this second Dibra, or the third Dibra, I'll back up top, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, Kilo Yinakeh Hashem Hashem Yisa Hashem Lashav, that is exactly the same. And then the fourth Dibra, which is Shabbos, there are many differences. We don't have to read those inside now, but the first appearance of Shabbos, it says Zachor, and the second one says Shamor. The first appearance of Shabbos says we should remember because Hashem created the world. Ki sheshes yomim asa Hashem es hashemayim ves aretz, like I highlighted. Hashem created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. That's why we keep Shabbos. And the second mentioning of a Shabbos in Parshas Veschanan says because we were taken out of Mitzrayim. We were enslaved in Mitzrayim. And to celebrate that we were freed from the work, we should also rest to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. So these two ideas of Shabbos seem are completely opposite. Why exactly is that? Now moving on to the next Dibra of Kabedes Avicha Vesimecha. You should honor your father and your mother. Leman Yarichun Yomecha, in order to lengthen your days. And in the second appearance of Aseret HaDibros, we add in Uleman Yitavlach, in order you should also better yourself. Al Hadama, and then in the second set it adds Asher Hashem Tziva, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach. Hashem already commanded us this. So we see already there's a difference there. We're not going to focus on Kibud Av V'Em right now. The next two set of psukim is going to be the focus. So it's, look what happens here now. Lo sirtach, lo sinaf, lo signov, lo saneh re'echa e'checker in the first set of dibros. Now in the second set of dibros, it says lo sirtach ve lo sinaf. We're adding above there. Ve lo signov. Ve lo saneh re'echa e'chav. We're adding all these vavs in the second appearance of that set of dibros. That's one point. And the second point is we're using the word shav instead of sheker. Right? You shouldn't testify on your friend falsely. Why are we changing from the original mentioning of sheker, which means lie, false, and the second time we mention it, it says shav, which means perhaps nothing, inconsequential. Why the change from sheker to shav? And then the last dibra is lo sachmod. You shouldn't covet your friend's house, wife. So look at the change of the order of psukim. In the first appearance of Aseret Dibros, we read lo sachmod beis re'echa, don't want in your friend's house, lo sachmon eishes re'echa, don't want in your friend's wife. Now in the second appearance of the Aseret HaDibros, the very last line, it says, v'lo sachmon eishes re'echa first, don't covet your friend's wife, v'lo sisave beis re'echa, and not your friend's house. There's also a change in the lashon of sisave versus sachmod, but the order is what I'm interested in right now. So, there are many differences. The two differences I like to just pull out, three differences rather, I like to pull out to keep in the back of our mind is the added vavs. A lot of vavs here in the second set of dibros. The second one is the difference of sheker versus shav. The first set of dibros has a lashon of sheker, and the second set of dibros has a lashon of shav, false versus meaningless. And then the last one I like to focus on is the changing of the order by lo sachmod. First we mentioned you shouldn't want someone's house, then someone's wife. But in the second appearance, we say you shouldn't want someone's wife and then their house. Why the change? So let's keep those questions in the back of our mind. So if we turn to the second page now, and we start reading the psukim, this is the Ves Chanan. Now this is Parsha Ves Chanan, right from the beginning. We read the psukim. The beginning, the first seven psukim are very clear. Let's read through it. Ves Chanan el Hashem ba'is ahilay mor. Hashem davin to Hashem. At that time, what do you say to Hashem? Hashem Elokim, Atachilos el Harosis Avdecha, you began to show your servant me as Galacha Vas Yarcha Chazaka, your greatness, your strong hand, Asher Mikael Bashamay Mavaretz, who's the God of the sky and the land, Asher Yasech Masecha Vachuvrosecha, who does the strength the way you do things. Ebrona, the Eretz Archa Tova, let me please pass by and see the land, Eretz Israel, Asher Be'eva Yardin, Ahar Tova Zeva Levanon, to see the mountain, Levanon, a reference to Beis HaMikdash. Moshe's pleading to Hashem, please let me see the Beis HaMikdash. Vayisaber Hashem l'manchem. Hashem got very angry because of you, because of Klal Yisrael. Unclear what that means exactly. But he got very mad at Moshe. V'lo shama Eli, Hashem didn't listen to me, Moshe says. V'yomer Hashem Eli, Hashem responded, Rav lach atosef debar Eli od badavar hazeh. You have enough. Don't speak on this issue anymore. It's enough. Alei Rosh HaPiskah, go up to the mountain v'sar inecha. Look out, Yomav et Tzafonav et Seimanav Mizracha, north, south, east, west, look all around. Hurei Beinecha, see with your own eyes, ki lo savor es yardin hazeh, because you won't cross over. Betzavis Yoshua v'chazkev v'amseyu, tell Yoshua to strengthen himself, ki hu yavor lefnei hamazeh, he's going to pass, he's going to lead the nation, hu yan chilosam, he'll inherit for them, spread the, disperse the land, es ha'art asher tzireh, the land that you're looking at, you will see. V'neisha b'gai mul pesbor, and you should settle in the pesbor. So Moshe pleads to Hashem. Hashem says, no, you could go on the mountain, you could see, but you can't go any further. Yeshua is going to lead them. That's very clear. Now we read the next psukim as Moshe goes on to talk to Bnei Israel. Very confusing what's going on here. It seems repetitive. It seems almost like nonsensical. So he says like this now. V'ata Yisrael. Moshe says, you Bnei Israel, now listen. Shema l'chalkukim v'al-mishpatim. Listen to the laws Hashem told us. Asher nochi malamed eschem la'asos l'man tichyun. That I commanded you in order to live, uvalsam v'yirishim etz ha'aretz, that you should come and inherit the land, asher Hashem elokeichem elokei avoseinu nosin lechem, that Hashem gives you. Lo sosifu al davar hazeh, asher anochi mitzvah eschem, don't add on to whatever I gave you. Lo sigru mimeni l'shmor asa mitzvah Hashem elokeichem, and don't diminish for what I gave you, asher anochi mitzvah eschem, for whatever I gave you, don't add and don't diminish. Einechem haros, your eyes see es asher asa Hashem l'Baal Peor. Your eyes see what you happened to Baal Peor. Everyone who encountered Baal Peor was destroyed. You should cling to Hashem, and you'll live. Now look at the next psukim. It seems almost repetitive. Now listen, I'd rather see what I commanded you. Before we said listen, here we're saying, see what I commanded you. Chukum v'mishpatim, the laws. We already said that above. Kashir tzivanu, that I commanded you. Hashem elokai. Lasos came mekever arts, that you should do in your land. Asher atem ba'im l'sham l'rusha. You're coming in order to inherit. The first pasuk seemed almost identical to this pasuk. First we're saying listen, now we're saying see. Basic same gist. Ushmartim va'asisem. You should guard and do the mitzvos. Kihu chachmaschem. Uvinaschem lehinei ha'amim. You should do them. Asher yishmun eis ka'achukim ha'ilav amirakam chachav v'nevon ha'goy gadol hazeh. So this all seems very repetitive. We're saying do the mitzvos. Listen, see. What exactly is the message Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell us over here? So I think there's one overall message in this first section I highlighted all in yellow. There are two sides of the same coin. First, Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, listen. Klal Yisrael, you have to listen to whatever Hashem commanded you. Because your relationship with Klal Yisrael is unique. And you have to listen to the chukim u'mishpatim. That's your way of life. The bris that you have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is this relationship we spoke about last week and the weeks beforehand, that Bnei Yisrael came to this level of a spousal relationship, a husband-wife relationship. So we say now listen to the laws in order that you should have life, because if you atem advekim b'Hashem, if you cling to Hashem, chayim kuchem hayom, you'll live. So we pointed out a couple weeks ago, lashon of davak is cling, we find by Adam and Chava. Davak b'ishto, that a man should be davak to ishto, he should cling to his wife. So the first section here is a reference to the relationship of dveikus, of husband and wife, to Bnei Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. Now the second half of this part, all in the yellow here, where it says, Re'ed limadati yaschem, now see. What does it mean, see the laws? You didn't see these laws. So it's the flip side. That on one hand, you are husband and wife with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but when doing so, you're also going to be a light onto the nation, onto the other nations. You're going to give this image of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is to the other nations. You're going to be a goy gadol hazeh, a great nation that the other nations should see. So again, let's read from Pasuk Hey. Re'ed limadati eschem, see I taught you these things, chukim u'mishpatim, these laws, kasher tzivani Hashem elokai, lasos kei mekerva aret asher atem bom rusham l'rishra, you're going to the land to do. So lashon re'ed already means to see, it's an appearance, it's a perception. Ushmartim v'asisem, you keep the mitzvos. Why? Ki hi chachmaschem v'vinaschem, it's wisdom. Le'enei ha'amim, to the eyes of the nations around you. Asher yishmun es ka'achukim ha'ilo, that you will listen to these laws. V'amu rak am chacham v'nevom, they're going to say, what a great nation, a wise nation. Ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh, this great nation. Ki mi goy gadol, again, we're repeating the words, goy gadol. Who is this great nation, Asher lo elokim krovim elav, that God is close to them, kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav, wherever they call him, he's with them. Umi goy gadol asher lo chukim v'mishratim tzadikim, who is this great nation that had these laws? K'chol ha-Torah azos, asher anochi nosein lefneichem hayom. So this whole first section, it's I think one overall theme, two sides of the same coin though. That there's an emphasis of Moshe saying to Klal Yisrael, listen, I'm about to die now. This is my final speech too. You have to listen to the laws. And the reason why you listen to the laws is twofold. One is because your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Dveikis Hashem. You should cling to Hashem, this husband-wife relationship. And as a result of that relationship, and listening to those laws, and the Chachmaschem Uvinaschem, and the wisdom that comes out, you will also be a great, in the eyes, in the nations, Kimigoy Gadol Hazeh, who's great like this nation? And they too will understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first point of listening to God, and that relationship, husband-wife. Now let's go further in all the pink highlights, Pasuk Tes, to the second main theme of what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell them. Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Tes says, he turns somewhat to the negative now. He says, Ra kisha melecha. Now be careful. Ushmor nafshecha ma'od. Now be careful. Watch yourself. Watch your soul. Pen tishkach hasadvarim, lest you forget these words. Ashero einecha, and that the words that you see. Ufen yasu milvavecha koi mechach, unless you sway or stray from your heart from these things. Very negative. You have to protect yourself now. V'hodatem levnecha levnevanecha. You should let your sons and your grandchildren know. Know what? Yom asher matel fnei Hashem elokecha. The day that you stood in front of Hashem, b'choreb, at Har Sinai, b'emur Hashem elokai akel l'asa'am, when Hashem said, gather everyone in the nation, v'ashmi'em es dvarai, listen to my words, asher limidun, li'yira osi. to fear me. Kol hayomim asherhem chaim ahadam aves b'neim yilamedun. I should have highlighted the word also b'neim. The theme here is a very negative one. Not negative, but they're warnings here. They're warnings to you yourselves were present at Kabbalah Satorah, or you yourselves at least were present in the Midbar and saw some of the awesome things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. You're able to learn and know God and have this dveikus Hashem. You could have this clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you could be a light unto the other nations. But the concern is now the generations to come, the children to come. That's the Yishamer. That's the guard yourselves. Pen tishkach, don't forget. Pen yasuru. You have to let your children know. You have to teach them how to be fearful because they were not there in the Midbar. They did not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu firsthand. They were not eyewitnesses. This is the challenge now of passing on to the children. As we go on, it's passing the Yiras Hashem, this great fear that you have to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we keep reading now in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatikrivun Vatamdun, you went close and stood, Tachas Ahar, under the Har Sinai, the Har Bor Be'esh, the mountain was burning with fire, Alei Vashemayim, until the heart of the sky, Choshech Anan V'Rafael, it was dark, there were clouds, Vayidaber Hashem Aleichem Mitoch Esh, and Hashem spoke to you from this fire, called Dvar Matem Shumim. You heard a sound, but you didn't see anything except for the voice. You saw the sound. Normally you can't see sound, but they saw the sound at Kabbalah Satorah. Now because they didn't see anything, they only heard something, they're lacking something in their emunah to a certain extent. Something in the, they were an eyewitness. They were eyewitness to Kabbalah Satorah, but they didn't see God. You remember in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you began to show me your greatness. I should have highlighted those, but all the Lashon Ariya, you show me your greatness, I want to see more. Hashem says you can't see more. Moshe Rabbeinu was an eyewitness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He saw him face to face, whatever that means. Klal Yisrael only saw sounds, which is more than we could see, but they saw sounds. There was something lacking. And because of that, look what he goes on to say now, Moshe says. He told you the bris. He told you the bris between each other, this treaty, it's husband-wife treaty. He told you the 10 things to do, the Aser Sadibros, and wrote them down on the Luchos. He told me to command you, he told me to command them to you. And now look at the words again. And you have to guard yourself, like we said earlier. Because you didn't see any picture, there's some lacking in your emunah. The day he spoke to you, you didn't see something. You have to protect yourself. Lest you destroy, lest you go bad and start making idols. Any type of idols, a male, a female figure, any image of an animal, any image of a bird, tabnis called romis ba'adama, anything that crawls on the ground, tabnis called dog asher b'mayim, tachas laretz, anything found in the water. Again, upenti sa'inecha shemayim, lest you look above, find something in shemayim. There are all these concerns all of a sudden. Because now the concern, the focus is, the second message that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to pass on here, is the children. The children who were not there. And even those who were present, they didn't feel the full image because they didn't see something. Since they didn't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's concern they might build like the Egel Hazav, the golden calf. They didn't have anything visual, so they had to build things, and that's the biggest concern. So these are the two messages now, moving forward. One, again, is the relationship. Yeah? Yes, his tefillin and talis, I think. Maybe his tefillin sharosh. I think they saw the back of the tefillin sharosh. He did see, only he couldn't see the front of Kadosh Baruch Hu's face, whatever that means. He saw the back. I'm not sure what that means either. But he saw something with the tefillin sharosh, yeah. But Moshe had this image he could work with. All the other Jews who were there didn't have this image. They saw some voice, some sound, but nothing more than that. So the concern now, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you guys have to first strengthen your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, this husband-wife relationship, and that is through the mechanism of the Chukim and Mishpatim, through Aser Sadibros perhaps. And the second concern is, and what they're concerned with is, the children to come afterwards, who weren't present at Kabbalah Satorah, who need to be strengthened, who have to infuse in them this Yiras Hashem. So now if we go to the bottom of page 2 now, Pasuk Chaf Hei, this is what we read on Tishbav. It says, Kisolid banim uvnei banim. Emphasis on children. When you will have children and grandchildren, noshamtem be'eretz v'ishchatem v'asisim pesel tunas kol. They're going to cause bad. They're going to create idols. They're going to be bad here. They're going to do bad. V'asisim hara be'inei Hashem v'kechel achiso. They're going to do evil in the eyes of God. Ha'idosi b'achem ha'yom eshmaim v'asaretz. The shmaim and aretz are testifying ke'avod av tavidim maher. I'm going to destroy them quickly. And these talk about all the bad things that will happen to our children. It's a guarantee that it's going to happen. The children of Bnei Yisrael are going to cause trouble. And they're going to do avodah zarah, and it's going to cause God to destroy them.
Why is he talking in language that it's going to happen? Why he doesn't have any belief in the Bnei Yisrael?
Great question. So it could be that everyone has bechira, everyone has a choice, but he knew that they would make the wrong decisions. He wasn't saying, I want them to happen, chas v'shalom, but he knew, he saw the future that they had the decision to make and they made the wrong choice. He was a Navi.
But you know it's
going to
happen anyway, what's the point of even a warning
people about? So, right, great question. So it could be the other, you know, the other people to follow them to realize you're going to face similar challenges. There's going to be time where you're going to, you know, it's a great question. I don't know. I don't know a good answer for it, but maybe for other people.
Because it's one of the two things. Either is foreseeing this is happening in the future, I mean, through Nebuah, or it's just he's seen you for 40 years and he's seen how, I don't know, unfaithful people could be. Right. Kind of using that as an example of the future. In the second case, he's more trying to warn them, said, no, you're going to do that, don't do it.
So you think the second case is really a warning, you think, not necessarily a prediction?
I don't know, could be right. One. I'm just trying to see which one really more makes sense based on what you're reading.
So right, maybe you can read it as it's a possibility that this can happen, not necessarily a guarantee. But it's a very likely thing. You could change yourselves, but it could be, yeah. So it's a good question.
If you know up front they're going to fail, that means this education, the whole system is failing.
Right. We don't know when they're going to fail, though. I mean, he could have been talking in 40 years, he could have been talking in 2,000 years. Each generation has to view themselves as not being the failing generation, but as being the one that's going to overcome. You can't consider yourselves as failures. I hear. But the psukim don't tell us when this happened. We have no idea when it's referring to. So it could be that way. Or maybe you're right. Maybe it's not even a prediction. It's just saying this is a potential catastrophe that should happen. You should be forewarned. And you shouldn't succumb to such taivas. Yeah. It could be the time of Shoftim. A lot of voters are happened there. But there are many instances in history it could have been referring to. I'm not sure. Maybe the Mefarshim do suggest what time period it was referring to. I'm not sure of any. But there were many time periods where they did do Avodah Zarah. Shoftim is definitely one good place to look at. So, going along with the second theme of Moshe Rabbeinu, that his concern is the generations to come and the children to come, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going so far to say it's perhaps predicting that they actually will give in to the Avodah Zarah. So that's why I read this on Tisha B'Av, to show the downfall of Klal Yisrael at that time. Now we go to page 3. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu concludes his speech to Bnei Yisrael. And in the top half, Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, Oz Yavdil Moshe. Moshe separates three cities on the side of Eivar Yarden. And that was the last mitzvah Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do. He started separating the Ari Miklat, the cities that will protect the murderers who did Beshogeg. So he did his mitzvah. And that's the conclusion of Moshe Rabbeinu's like final speech. And now Dvarim Perakeh goes on to a whole new section of Sefer Dvarim, Mishnah Torah, as we said. This second section of all of Sefer Dvarim is a section that discusses all the mitzvahs. And that's introduced by the Aseret HaDibros. So let's just read the beginning, the introduction here of Sefer Dvarim, the next five psukim. And it says, Vayikra Moshe el Kol Yisrael. And Moshe calls out to Bnei Yisrael. And we already said last week's parsha, Lashon Vayikra is a reference to Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra, which contains many mitzvahs. So this is where this section of Sefer Devarim, which is a chazar of Sefer Vayikra, begins here. So Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Moshe calls out to Klal Yisrael. Vayomer Aleihem Shema Yisrael Sachukim VeMishpatim. Here to listen to all the chukim and mishpatim, which already Moshe Rabbeinu said in a speech several times. Asher Anochi Dover Baznechem, I'm going to speak in your ears. Hayom Ulamatim El Samu Shmartim Lasosem. You should learn them. You should watch them and do them. Hashem Elokeinu Kross Imanu Bris Becharif. You established a bris, a treaty between the two of us. Now the bris is a reference to this relationship, the husband-wife relationship between the two of them. Lo esavoseinu kras Hashem es habris hazos. Not with your forefathers did I establish a treaty. Ki itanu, with you, anachnu elu fo hayon kolanu chaim. All those who are living here, I established a treaty with you guys. Parn mifanim, face to face. Dibar Hashem imachem bahar mitoch eish. I spoke to you face to face. Not the face to face of Moshe Rabbeinu, but some other face to face which was manifested through the fire. Anochi omed bein Hashem ubein eichem. I stood between you. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking now. I stood between you and Hashem. To tell you the words of Hashem. You feared the fire and you wouldn't go up. So this is the introduction to Aseret HaDibros. So before I go on to explain what exactly is going on in the Aseret HaDibros and the differences between the first appearance of the Aseret HaDibros and the second appearance, I'd like to tell you over a medrash, a fascinating medrash. It's found in the Tanhuma. Actually, rather, it's found in the Psikta Zutra. It says, the entire Aleph base is found, if you look at the Aseret HaDibros. Every single letter of the Aleph base is found, except for the letter Tes is not found in the Aseret HaDibros, the first ones. It's found in the second one, but not in the first one. Why was that? So the Medrash explains that the Aseret HaDibros served as a ksuba that a husband gives to his wife. The Aseret HaDibros, if it lacked the letter Tes, it lacked something, a letter of Aleph Beis, it was incomplete. Had the first Aseret HaDibros been complete, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Aseret HaDibros, the ksuba. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is married to Klal Yisrael, and this is your ksuba. And then he sees them doing the Egozov, and then he breaks Aseret HaDibros. So then, basically, well, for, even before the breaking, when Klal Yisrael was worshipping Avodah Zarah, that was like Eishes Ish. Like adultery. You were not being loyal to your spouse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you were being obeyed another Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the first Aseret HaDibros had to lack the letter Tes in order to be a deficient ksuba. It wasn't a good ksuba. They weren't really married. So there was never an instance where Klal Yisrael was not loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The husband-wife relationship didn't exist yet. But the second appearance of Aseret HaDibros contained every letter, even the letter Tes. It was a complete ksuba. It was a full relationship. It was a husband-wife relationship. So the question is, when was this second Aseret HaDibros, when was it given, at what time period? So different mepharshim explain that, I'm going to take one approach, that these second set of Aseret HaDibros that appear in Vaschanan is just Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, his own personal ideas of how one understood the Aseret HaDibros. I'm not being so clear about it, but it was unique to this new generation. The new generation that was ready to enter and into Eretz Yisrael, because they reached this level of husband-wife relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And they were the ones zocha to this ksuba, this full ksuba, including every single letter. And they had this husband-wife relationship. So that being said, we go back and understand some of the differences in these Aseret HaDibros. We mentioned three. Yes?
I didn't quite understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
Are you saying that the Ten Commandments were given twice?
They were. Yeah, well, after he broke.
Twice?
Well, after they broke, the first ones were broken, then Moshe wrote a second set. And the question in the Mepharshim deal with.
It says that the second set was exactly like the first set.
So that is a discussion in the Mepharshim. Some say it is exactly the same way. And what? No. In Vaschanan we pointed out there were differences, right?
Right, but this is Moshe's word.
So that's how some say. That's the approach I'm taking right now. That this is Moshe's words. There are Mepharshim like the Ibn Ezra, who says, no, these words in Vaschanan is the words that are found in the second set of Dibros. And they were actually different than the first set. That's what the Ibn Ezra and other Rishonim do say that. we're going to take the approach that they're exactly the same. The appearance, like you're saying here in Vaschana, is simply Moshe Rabbeinu's paraphrasing, not really paraphrasing, but his understanding of that Seder that they wrote. So he added some words, made some changes, and perhaps with a certain Ruach HaKodesh to highlight certain ideas and themes. We'll take that approach, the one you're more comfortable with anyways. So this is just Moshe Rabbeinu's putting, he's adding something in here to try to tell us a point here, something about that's unique with this generation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which I'm going to suggest based on this Medrash, that this is a full ksuba. This highlighted the real relationship, the husband-wife relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Yeah?
If he's giving a full ketubah now, why are you saying that you're going to worship the idols? You're going to do the same thing again?
Could be. It's fine.
Well, he says he's going to do it, so it still doesn't make sense.
I'm saying, why does it make sense? It's a ketubah.
He say that he has the letter tet there, so you have a valid ketubah.
Right.
But at the same time, he's saying that you're going to break it. And you said that the reason the first time it was lacking that there because of the idol.
It's a great question, but it could be that it's very different that when it happened by all Klal Yisrael did it at Kabbalah Satorah. That two things, all Klal Yisrael for the exception of the Levim, and it happened at Kabbalah Satorah at the actual wedding ceremony, if you will, as opposed to happening not by all of Klal Yisrael later on, and also not happening at the actual wedding ceremony. It's a good question. I don't have a perfect answer. You're right. But based on this Medrash, what happens here, though, it's clear that this second set of the Dibros, that this second, at least, occurrence, is a ksuba, and it contains all the letters, including the letter tes. So that being said, that it highlights the ksuba, the husband-wife relationship, I like to answer the three questions I wanted to focus on, the three differences of the Aseres HaDibros. The first one was the letter Vav. The letter Vav appeared, four extra times here in the second set. So what's the Lashon of Vav? We call it Vav Achibor, connection. Vav says A and B. It connects two things, A and B. It's a way of connecting husband and wife, Ish v'Isha. It's a Chibor, it's a Lashon of connecting husband and wife. And perhaps that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind, adding all these Vavs to highlight this connection of a husband and wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The second difference was in the first Zibor, it says Sheker, and the second one said Shav. One means lie, and one means Shav as, let's say, insignificant. A Shav, something that doesn't mean anything. So I'm suggesting that when it comes to a husband and a wife, you don't want any ounce of Sheker, no lying at all involved. There can't be any Sheker. Shav is a much more powerful, a much smoother type of word to use that is more appropriate for husband and wife. Sheker is for the first set of Dibros, but the second set where it's a ksuba, Lashon Sheker would be inappropriate to use. So that explains why Lashon Sheker does not appear in the second set. And the third question, and the third difference I wanted to focus on, was the order of the way Lo Sachmod was presented. The first time it was presented, Lo Sachmod Beis Re'acha, V'lo Sachmod Eishes Re'acha. You shouldn't want your friend's house, you shouldn't want your friend's wife. Now, I'm not sure why it's in that order in the first set of Dibros, but I do know why in the second set of Dibros we first mentioned Eishes Re'echa, you shouldn't want your friend's wife, because, again, the whole discussion here is one of a husband-wife relationship, a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Now, I will say one other point, the two Shabbos mentions, the Shamor V'Zachor. The Shamor V'Zachor highlights, Zachor, we always say, is a reference to the Kiddush, what? It's a connection to Bereishis, but it's the Kiddush we say Friday night. And Shamar is a reference to all the negative commandments we do. So there's an interesting thing that we say on Shabbos in the in all three davenings. We say in Shmona Esrei, in all three, Marav Shacharis, or three of the four, Marav Shabbos, Marav Shacharis, and Mincha, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Ritzei v'nu Chaseinu, Kajenu b'mitzvosecha. And then we say, at the end, I assume Sfardim are the same, I'm not entirely sure, you'll tell me, V'yanuchu va. Then we say V'yanuchu vo, and V'yanuchu vom. We change the word, this one word, three times. Friday night, at least the Ashkenazim, I'm not sure the Sfardim, say V'yanuchu va. It rests on it. Shabbos is it as a feminine. And in Shabbos morning we say Vayinuchu Vo as a masculine and Vam Mincha Vam them together. And this also is a reference, they say in Pi Kabbalah, it's also a reference to the husband-wife relationship of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael the woman, the man, and them together. And somehow Shabbos also connects this. I'm not sure why the second set of Dibros would emphasize that more than the first set, but there's this Shabbos somehow is unique with this relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So that's the first. So that's this Aseret HaDibros is an emphasis again. And we said Moshe Rabbeinu had two themes, two messages he wanted to pass over to Klal Yisrael. The first one was focus on your husband-wife relationship. And that's emphasized by Moshe Rabbeinu's first mitzvah, or a set of mitzvahs he's giving them. Here's the ksuba, here's the Aseret HaDibros. Learn these chukim and mushpatim, and you will strengthen your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the second message HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give them was pass on to the children that they should have this fear and this love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should maintain the mitzvahs and keep the mitzvahs. So now if we jump to page 4 in the Mar Mekomos. Page 4 in the Mar Mekomos, the top of it, is a conclusion of what happened at Aseret HaDibros. And Klal Yisrael is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to Moshe, we can't hear the voice is so loud and it's booming, we can't bear to stand it anymore, it's too strong for us. Moshe, you be our messenger. And then look at Pasuk Chafei where I highlighted this pink. After that, what was Kadosh Baruch Hu's concern? He says, Mi tein vayalavavam zelahem liyiras osi. Had it been their desire that they didn't want to hear me because it was so strong, had that desire been there also in order to fear me as well, that would be great also. Akadosh Baruch Hu is concerned now that they're not going to hear me anymore. There's going to be some chisaron, something lacking in their Yiras Hashem. That's Akadosh Baruch Hu's concern at Har Sinai. So if we jump now to Dvarim Perek Vav now, so he says, "Vezos haMitzvah haChukim vaMishpatim." This is the mitzvah. What's this mitzvah? Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeichem, that Hashem commands you, Lamid Eschem Lasos Baretz. This pasuk is what we keep repeating throughout Vayeschanan. I'm not sure if there are differences in all them, but this is the Zosa mitzvah. L'man tira es Hashem lokecha, in order that you should fear Hashem. Lishmor es kachu kalsav mitzvos v'Hashem nuchem mitzavcha. This mitzvah of fearing Hashem you have to accomplish. Ata uvincha uvebincha. This is my concern. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the mitzvah you have to pass on to them to fear Hashem to your children, your grandchildren. Kol yimei chayecha, all your lives. L'man yarich yamecha. So this is the concern. This is the mitzvah. What's this big mitzvah? Pasuk Dal, the yellow highlights. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This mitzvah of Shema, this whole parsha Shema we'll read in a second, is the mitzvah you have to pass on to your children to instill, infuse this fear and love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pass on from generation to generation. So it says, V'haftes Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem, which is the flip side of Yira. They work together. I'm not sure why Ava is used versus Yira, but the concern was the Yira. So Hashem says, you should know that I'm one, and you should love me. B'chol avavcha, v'chol nafshcha, v'chol me'odecha. V'ayu adver ma'ila Hashem Elokim mitzvcha, yom avecha, it should always be in your heart. V'shinantim levanecha. And this is the mitzvah you should teach to your children. This was the concern of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the message. And this was the concern of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Klal Yisrael said, I can't hear HaKadosh Baruch anymore, it's too loud. Hashem was concerned about the Yira. So he said to Moshe, this is the mitzvah you have to teach Hashem, Shema, and B'shinantim levanecha, teach it to your children. Ukshartim lils, and tie it on your hands and your head, and ukshartim ha-mezuzos pe'secha, have mezuzos. You have to surround yourselves by the mitzvah of Shema, Shema Yisrael. And Shema is also very unique. How is this going to pass on to the children this Yira of Aseret HaDibros? So the Avudraham was a Spanish Rishon in the 14th century. The Avudraham writes, then all these psukim of Shema, the Aseret HaDibros are alluded to. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is referred to there. And he goes pasuk by pasuk saying, Shema contains references to Aseret HaDibros. This somehow is a paraphrase of Aseret HaDibros in a perhaps more simple way, of a simple way that a child could understand to pass on to the children to maintain the sphere in order to keep the mitzvahs. Now without reading all the psukim, if you just look at the highlights of the next few psukim, it says, Hishar Melecha Pentishka Ach, you have to be careful not to forget. Tira highlighted that you should fear Hashem. This is the end of Vayeschanan is instilling this the constant fear you have to pass on to your children with the words of Shema. And then look at Pasuk Chaf now. Ki yishalcha vincha machar. And when your son asks you, ma ha'idus v'achukim ha'mishratim, when your children ask you, what do you tell them happened? You have to tell them the whole story of Mitzrayim. And lashon vincha again. Now look finally on the last page here. What's the final? The final mitzvahs that he gives over to them. This is all, again, the whole emphasis here is on the children and instilling fear in the children. The last page, what's the first line? Pasuk Gimel. Lo sishchatem bam bitcha lo siten livno vita lo sikach levincha. You cannot intermarry. Your children, your daughters, your sons and your daughters can't marry. Ki yasir bitcha me'acharai, because your children are going to turn from their religion. So this whole second half, after Aseret Dibros, with the Shema Yisrael, v'shinantam levanecha, teaching your children, this is a whole way of combating Moshe Rabbeinu's second message to them. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu had two concerns, two messages. One is the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Second was your children, you have to instill a fear. So how does he address these? So the two big mitzvahs that are found in this parsha. First, Aseret Dibros is the ksuba, the husband-wife relationship. That's how you're going to bridge and maintain the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the second big concern is the children. How do you combat that? That's the pesukim of Shema Yisrael. You have to teach your children Shema, teach them what it means about intermarrying and all these other things that go along with the fear and love of Hashem. Now, just to conclude, so how does this serve as a nechama, as comfort, as we conclude Tisha B'Av? Just yesterday, we're reading, going to Va'eschanan. After we already read the bad nevuah, the prophecy, the prediction of Moshe that they're going to worship of Vodazara, it's the children that is a comfort to us. All the hardships we went through the Holocaust and all the other expulsions we went through in the Beis HaMikdash, our guarantee is that the children will continue to live, will always be there, we're everlasting B'nai Israel. And even though we may not be there to see the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, and hopefully we will, our children will be. And it's maintaining the children, the B'necha u'V'nei B'necha, as we said, V'odatim l'V'nei B'necha, you should tell your children and your grandchildren what happened to Kabbalah Satorah. And that's the comfort to us, that although we went through hardships, our children will always last, and that's our comfort to the future.
By the way, in the Sephardis,
it's the same thing, yeah?
It's